Can I just say it is so good to have Eddie back with us. Thank you. We missed you. So I would just like to start off apologizing a little bit because I have not been feeling very good lately. I think I got a little food poisoning. That's always fun. But it's been a little rough. So I apologize. I usually get out and get to see everybody, but today I kind of stayed up here on the front and did my thing. But normally I would be out there doing that, and I missed it. I'm sorry. But today I did not want to miss today because I think this is important. And I think Satan is attacking me individually, personally, because he doesn't like what we've decided to do as a church. Satan hates it. When you press into God in any way or form, he is going to want to stand in between you and God. He doesn't like that. And I am determined not to let him win that fight. So I'm going to pray really quickly just over myself that I make it through this. So dear Lord Jesus, I just thank you for this day. I thank you for this time that I can stand before these people and deliver your word. I thank you for the message that I've been given today, and I pray that we can take this to heart. And I just pray that you energize me, Lord, that you give me the strength to make it through this sermon. I know that you have all the power to be able to do that. And I just pray that you give that to me, Lord, so that I can speak your word as I've been called to. I love you so much. In Jesus' precious name, I ask and pray. Amen.
Amen.
Okay, so let me tell you a story. Anybody is a fix-it person? Anybody like to fix things? Okay, we got a few fix-its, fixers, okay? That's me. I like to try to fix things myself, and then if it goes really wrong, I'll hire somebody professional to come in. Anybody ever happen that? It's like you started on something and someone else had to finish it for you. Yeah, that's been a couple projects for me. One of those projects is plumbing. Plumbing is not my specialty, although I've been able to do some plumbing things. At one time I was plumbing and I was trying to replace out a faucet. And I had never done that before. It was for my mom. They were trying to sell their house, so I was trying to go around and make their house look a little fresher. So we were replacing all of the faucets. So I'm sitting there. I don't know if you've ever tried to replace a faucet, especially in like a bathroom sink, because they're small. And you're up under things, and you have to actually unscrew this little nut that's on the bottom of the faucets. And I'm sitting there with all of my tools and trying to figure out how I can unscrew this nut. And I would be able to get something on there and like turn it 1/8 of an inch, okay? And I don't know if you've seen the bottom of a faucet, but the threads are about 1.5 inches long, right? So you can imagine how many times I'd have to turn that thing to go at 1/8 of an inch to get it all the way out the faucet. So I'm sitting there and I'm banging my head because I'm under the faucet, you know, and I'm, you know, just frustrated, super frustrated. And I finally got this faucet fixed, and I'm like, this is insane. There has to be a better way to do this. So I go to Home Depot, and of course they had some guys in the aisle. I'm like, dude, have you ever replaced one of those faucet things? He's like, oh yeah, yeah. I was like, well, how do you do that and not, you know, kill yourself over the frustration of the event? He was like, oh, there's a tool for that. I was like, oh. Okay, so he shows me this little tool. It's like this little long cylindrical thing that you just stick up there and then you can just twist it off, right? And it took me, the rest of the faucets took me no time at all, whereas that first faucet took me forever. I mean, it literally took me like a half a day to try to figure out what to do with that. And I just wanted to tell you that story because I think sometimes we need the right tool for the right job. And last week we talked about fasting. This week we're going to talk a little bit more about fasting because, again, some of you guys may have never heard anything about fasting. I knew I grew up in a Baptist church. I grew up listening to the pastor all the time, and they never really said anything about fasting. So We're going to continue talking about that, but sometimes the right tool for the job is fasting when it comes to your spiritual walk. Sometimes you've been struggling with something so long. Sometimes you have this big mountain ahead of you, and fasting is the right tool to actually help you through that event. I know in my life, there have been things that I was trying to get rid of in my life that were pulling me away from God, and I kept struggling with them over and over and over again. And fasting was the right tool for me in those moments. So we're going to talk first about reasons to fast. I didn't really talk about that much last week. I talked about the fact that Christians should be fasting, and that's very clear in the Bible, I think. I think it's very clear in the Bible that if you're a Christian, this should be part of one of the spiritual disciplines that you take a part of. So the first reason I just want to talk about is repentance. So in the Bible, many times when people were repentant, they would fast as a way to show God that they were sorry for what they had done. In fact, one of the most famous instances of that comes in Jonah. And in Jonah 3:1, it says, "Then the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time." So this is after the fish. Okay, you got swallowed by a fish because you wouldn't go to Nineveh. Nineveh was a horrible place. You can imagine going to the downtown crazy place of a big city where, you know, there's like bad things happening all the time and you have to worry about your safety. This was Nineveh. It was a place where, you know, terrible things would happen, and Jonah was so afraid to go to Nineveh that he ran from the call of God. And God had him swallowed by a fish. So when that was over, God came to him a second time and said, "Okay, now go to Nineveh," right? It says, "Go to the great city of Nineveh and proclaim to it the message I give you." Jonah obeyed the word of the Lord and went to Nineveh. Now, Nineveh was a very large city. It took 3 days to go through it. Jonah began by going a day's journey into the city, proclaiming, 40 more days and Nineveh will be overthrown. Okay, so you can imagine I'm going into this really bad place and I'm running around screaming, "Y'all gonna die in 40 days. And how well that could have gone over. And this is why Jonah was kind of scared to go in the first place. But how did the Ninevites react? The Ninevites believed God. A fast was proclaimed, and all of them, from the greatest to the least, put on sackcloth. When Jonah's warning reached the king of Nineveh, he rose from his throne, took off his royal robes, covered himself with sackcloth, and sat down in the dust. This is a proclamation he issued in Nineveh. "By decree of the king and his nobles, do not let people or animals, herds or flocks, taste anything. For do not let them eat or drink, but let people and animals be covered with sackcloth. Let everyone call urgently on God. Let them give up their evil ways and their violence. Who knows? God may relent and with compassion turn from his fierce anger so that we will not perish." So this was the response of the king. Humility. This is the king taking off his robes and putting on sackcloth and then kneeling before God and saying, "I'm sorry." And having his whole people do this together. It wasn't just him. So this was a public humiliation that he was doing. And God's response to this, when God saw what they did and how they turned from their evil ways, he relented and did not bring on them the destruction he threatened. So yeah. Some of you guys may have something in your life that you've been hanging on to for a long time. Something you're not quite willing to let go of. So maybe we need to be fasting for repentance. So the second reason is freedom. In Mark 9:17, we see this boy who is sick, and his father comes to Jesus and then comes to the disciples first and wants them to be healed. So in verse 17, it starts off with, "Then one of the crowds answered and said, 'Teacher, I brought you my son who has a mute spirit, and whenever he seizes him, It throws him down. He foams at the mouth, gnashes his teeth, and becomes rigid. So I spoke to your disciples that they should cast it out, but they could not. He answered him and said, Oh, faithless, this is Jesus, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring him to me. Then they brought him to him, and when he saw him, immediately the spirit convulsed him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed, foaming at the mouth. So he said, he asked his father, How long has this been happening to him? And he said, From childhood. And often he has thrown him both into the fire and into the water to destroy him. But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Jesus said to him, If you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. Immediately the father of the child cries out and said with tears, Lord, I believe. Help me my unbelief. Then Jesus saw the people came running together. He rebuked the unclean spirit, saying, Deaf and dumb spirit, I command you, come out of him and enter no more. Then the spirit cried out, convulsed him greatly, and came out of him. And he became as one dead, so that many said, He is dead. But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. And when he had come into the house, his disciples asked him privately, Why could we not cast it out? So he said to them, This kind can only come out by nothing but prayer and fasting. So, I will admit, okay, that this is a debated verse. There are Greek manuscripts that leave out the word fasting, but the majority of them do not. And the debate rises up because at the time where these manuscripts rose up, the Christian church put a very big emphasis on fasting. So some scholars say, well, it kind of snuck in there. I kind of believe that it is in there. And I'll tell you why. Number one, it's weird to me that it just says prayer. Because you'd think that the disciples would have actually prayed, right? So if the disciples tried to cast out this demon and it was unsuccessful, and they didn't pray, then obviously, you know, they did something wrong there. You'd think that they would have known that. And because of the majority of the manuscripts saying fasting, I think that, you know, this is something, it's probably in there. Also, I think that prayer in general is accompanied by fasting. You don't always fast when you pray, but if you want to turn up your prayer life, and if you want to get God engaged in your prayer even more, fasting is part of that. I think it's almost inseparable, and I think that's what the early Christians realized in their life. And so even if it was added later, it would have been because the Christian church valued fasting, and they realized as they were going through life, that there were some things that wouldn't come out unless they prayed and fasted. Okay, so what we're seeing here is that if you want freedom, there are some times you need to turn it up a notch and humble yourself before God and fast. Okay, the next is deliverance. And this is one of my favorite stories in the Bible. Queen Esther, right? So she is taken into the palace, and she's one of the queens to the king, his second, you know, he probably had many queens, but she was one of them. And as a queen, she had certain access to the king, but he had to call her to him. The only exception to that would be if she came and then he extended his royal scepter and basically forgave her for coming into his presence without being called. So her uncle Mordecai is basically like, look, Esther, Haman, he's this evil guy. He's trying to destroy our people. Okay? He wants to destroy our people. You need to go before the king and you need to tell him, hey, this is wrong. So what is Esther's reply? Esther told them, this is in Esther 4:15,
Then Esther told them to reply to Mordecai, "Go assemble all the Jews who are found in Susa and fast for me. Do not eat or drink for 3 days, night or day. I and my maidens also will fast in the same way, and thus I will go into the king, which is not according to the law, and if I perish, I perish." So Mordecai went away and did just as Esther had commanded. So here's Esther. She realizes what she's about to do is crazy, and that she's most likely going to die. And what does she call her people to do? To fast, to pray. To pray to God, to put it in God's hands. It's basically like saying, "God, we need extra help in this. This is a big thing." Okay, so again, if you want deliverance in your situation, sometimes we're facing a situation that we really need God's help on. Fasting. I highly recommend it. Direction. And we read this last week. But in Acts 13:2, the disciples, early on in their ministry, they would actually use fasting as a way to anoint new leaders of the church. And it started right here in Acts 13:2. While they were ministering to the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, "Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them." Then, when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. So this is the first missionary journey ever. And how was it begun? It was begun by fasting and praying to God. And then from that moment on, every time they came to a church and they had to put a leader in charge of that church, they fasted and they prayed for that leader. That's what the Bible tells us. It was just a part of what they did because they really needed God's direction. And I know sometimes in your life, you really need God's direction. It would be really nice to know what God says about it, right? So in those moments, fasting, it puts us in communication with God that is often stronger than we normally would have. Again, early Christian church. This is after Jesus. This is not just Old Testament stuff. And then provision. In Ezra chapter 8, Ezra has gone to the king and basically bragged about how awesome his God is. And then we pick up because they're returning to their land. This is Ezra 8:21. "Then I proclaimed a fast there at the river of Ahava, and that we might humble ourselves before our God to seek from him a safe journey for us, for little ones and all our possessions. For I was ashamed to request from the king troops and horsemen to protect us from the enemy on the way. Because we had said to the king, 'The hand of our God is favorably disposed to all those who seek him. But his power and his anger are against all those who forsake him.' So we fasted and sought our God concerning this matter, and he listened to our entreaty." So again, this is Ezra. He's realizing, listen, I need God because I can't go before the king and say, "Hey, king, we need protection," because I just told him that our God will protect us. So Ezra has all the community fast and pray to have this provision, and then God protected them. God responds. And that's what we talked about last week. When you fast, God responds to that. In worship, when the baby Jesus was born, he was presented at the temple. One of the people there, in Luke 2:36, it says, "There was also a prophet, Anna, the daughter of Penuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was very old. She had lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage, and then was a widow until she was 84. She never left the temple, but worshipped night and day, fasting and praying. Coming up to them at that very moment, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem." So here she is. She's been fasting and praying as a worship to God. And this is one of the things, if you really just want to set time apart to really just worship God, fasting is a great way to do that. And in the Bible, we also see mourning. Often people would mourn, and the way they would mourn is they put sackcloth on and ashes, and they would, you know, they would fast. When Saul died and Jonathan died in battle, the children of Israel just fasted because they were sad. They were like, oh, our king is dead. And the way they responded to that was through fasting. And then ministry. We see when, we talked about this last week, when Moses was before God, he was getting the Ten Commandments. He didn't think about eating, right? And so he fasted just kind of naturally. And sometimes that happens to us, but you know, while we're ministering, sometimes we need to fast for our ministries. The things in our life that God is using us in, we can fast for those things, and God is going to respond to those things. So those are just some of the ways or the reasons that we get into fasting and why we would fast. But before we go any further, let's just talk about how we don't fast. Because the Bible is very specific about fasting. In fact, Jesus changed things up a little bit when he came. So we're going to fast well, and I'm going to call you to fasting well. The first part, again, we read this last week, but in Matthew 6:16, this is Jesus talking about fasting, and it changes things a little bit. Because what would happen is the Pharisees would go out, and they would declare, hey, we're going to fast. And they would put sackcloth on ashes. They'd go out, and they'd be like, woe is me, woe is me. You know, and people are looking at them like, oh, they're fasting, you know. So really what it had become was it was more about the Pharisees than it was about seeking God. And Jesus knew this. So Jesus turns it on his head. It says 16 in verse 16, whenever you fast, do not put on a gloomy face as the hypocrites do, for they neglect their appearance so that they will be noticed by men when they are fasting. Truly I say to you, they have their reward in full. But you, when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face so that your fasting will not be noticed by men, but by your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. In other words, we're not putting sackcloth on anymore. We're not putting the ashes on anymore. When we fast, right? When we go out into the world, we're going to act normal. And God's going to know that we're fasting. And that doesn't mean we can't have corporate fast where we all are fasting together. That's not what he's talking about, because the disciples fasted together. But they weren't going out into the world going, oh, we're fasting, it's so terrible, right? So when we go into a fast, we need to not change our behavior. In fact, if we change our behavior at all, it should be towards righteousness, not towards woe is me and pity. Okay, I'm not going to go to the restaurant and complain about the fact that, hey, I've got to eat beans and rice tonight. Okay, that's not the appropriate fast. And as Jesus said, the reward that they got for getting men's attention to their fast, they had already gotten. That was it. But it also says that if you do this, the Father is going to reward you. He didn't say, if. Right? The Father chooses to reward you. It says when you do this and you do it to God, there is a reward on the other side. And I don't know about you, but I want to be rewarded by my Father in heaven. That's something I seek. And what Jesus is saying is you fast. In Isaiah 58, children of Israel had been fasting and it wasn't working. So in 58 verse 3, it says, why have we fasted and you do not see? Why have we humbled ourselves and you do not notice? Behold, on the day of your fast, you find your desire and drive hard all your workers. So this is God saying, basically, they're saying, why aren't you responding to our fast? We're fasting. Normally you respond to that. But what does God say? It says, behold, on the day of your fast, you find your desire and drive hard all your workers. So they were fasting, and then I guess they had a bad temper or something like that because they were fasting. They were angry. They're just angry, you know? Ever been hangry? Right? So they're going out and they're treating the people that they were under them badly. Right? Behold, your fast for contention and you fast for contention and strife to strike with a wicked fist. You do do not fast like you do today to make your voice heard on high. In other words, you weren't fasting for the right reasons. Not only that, but you weren't fasting correctly because you're going out and mistreating people while you're fasting. Right? And God doesn't honor that. God's like, I have no part in that. That's not the fasting I've called you to. So God says, is it a fast like which I choose, a day for a man to humble himself? It is for bowing one's head like a reed and for spreading out sackcloth and ashes as a bed. Will you call this a fast, even an acceptable day to the Lord? Is this not the fast which I choose? And listen to this. To loosen the bonds of wickedness, to undo the bands of the yoke, and to let the oppressed go free, and to break every yoke. Is it not to divide your bread with the hungry and bring the homeless poor into the house? When you see the naked, to cover him and not to hide yourself from your own flesh. This is God saying, listen, if you're fasting, you need to be loving people for me. You need to be the hand of me to other people. Right? You need to go out and you need to be looking for ways to serve me and to minister to me. And then when I see that, I will respond. Amen? But that's not what they're doing. So what I'm challenging you guys to do is to go with me into the fast. And we're going to use this time to draw closer to God. And I have a sample fasting schedule because I get a lot of questions about what this should look like. And listen, there's different ways to fast. Again, some people I have met did a whole like 21-day water fast, and that's what they did. I am not suggesting that for most people. That is something God needs to call you into. What I would suggest, and this is just a suggestion, so that you see what this might look like, is so for the first 6 days, you do a Daniel fast, and maybe fast social media or something like that. And listen, if you fast all 21 days of social media, I promise you, you'll be like, wow, that was actually a good experience. Okay, more and more, I was like, just try it. Just see what that does. And again, that doesn't mean if you have a business and you can't obviously get on social media or something like that to take care of your business. What it means is in your private life, you're not going to your phone constantly or your TV or your video games or something like that. So for 6 days, you do a Daniel fast. And again, we went over the Daniel fast last week. Daniel fast is pretty much you're eating fruits and vegetables. That would include like whole grains. So we eat a lot of beans and rice on our fast because that's a complete protein. For those of you who are working out, yes, you can do a Daniel fast and work out. And you can actually gain muscle if you do it correctly. You can eat nuts, things like that. The big thing is to stay away from the processed foods, the sugars, the desserts, you know, those types of things. And then meats, that's something, again. So I suggest that. And then maybe 1 week, if you want to, one day a week, you stretch yourself and say, okay, I'm going to try this water fast thing because this seems like, this, for some of you guys, that's going to be a stretch. You've never gone 24 hours without eating. It's really not that hard. Most people can do that. Ask your doctor if you have any underlying health concerns before you do that. I would not do this the day before your wrestling tournament. Okay, that's not going to leave you in a very good position for that. So week two, do the same thing and see that how it happens. And then week three, push yourself and see, hey, can I go 3 days? It's something that you could try. And again, this is just a sample. There are different ways you can fast. I know people that have done intermittent fasting throughout that time. So they're just eating dinner, that type of thing. But whatever you do, I'm going to challenge you to stretch yourself. There's going to be things where like, well, that won't be hard. Okay, don't make that your fast. Do something that's going to take you to the next level and require a little bit of faith from God. You know, a 3-day water fast for me the first time I did it, that required some faith because I was like, I'm skinny. I'm going to like disappear, you know? But you know what? It wasn't that bad. And it was amazing because during that time, all of my focus was on God because I wasn't focusing on food. So again, these are just some samples of what that could look like. And if you want, obviously, and if you feel like God's calling you into a longer fast, do it and trust God with it, because God can get you through. It's amazing how much we don't have to eat if we don't have to. Like a week, people can go all the time. See that happen all the time. 3 days is nothing. The first 2 days is going to be really bad because you're coming off all your junk. But if you save those 3 days till the end of your fast, it'll be easier because you're already off the junk. So those 3 days aren't gonna feel as bad. Okay. So again, that's something I suggest. So the 21-day plan is this: we're not just going to fast; we're going to pray. Yeah, and there's certain needs the church has. And if you see my little, everybody get one of these, right? So these are some needs down here that we have. First of all, there's impact. We want to have impact on our community from this church. We want to reach people with the gospel. And I want you guys praying every day that we impact this community with the gospel. Growth. Listen, we need growth. It's one of those things. We've got a big building here. I want to fill this building. I want to use it. And as we do that, we're going to be able to do more ministry to people because we'll have more people to do it with. Healing. Y'all just saw the prayer list. We have a lot of people that have needs right now, and I want to pray for those people and fast for those people and let God do what God's going to do in their life. Volunteers. We always need more volunteers, especially, you know, as students. I'm looking for student volunteers. Kids area still needs some volunteers so that not everybody has to do it, but you can kind of take turns and it's just not always the same people over and over again. And the finances for restoration. This building has a lot of stuff that we need to fix, and I want to pray for that. I want to fast for that, that God provides the means of us getting this building back up to 100%. Because it's been a while and we need to do that. And I think that's just stewarding the building well, stewarding what God's given us well. So I want to fast and I'm pray for that. And then we're looking for some part-time staff. And this is something I haven't really dug into too much yet. But during this time of prayer and fasting, these are the two that we're going to look for. And I'm going to let God's guidance kind of come through in that. And I need you guys to pray with me about that, right? So that's what this is. And also, besides prayer, we're going to worship God. So get your worship music out. Have it on the playlist. You know, and just listen to worship music. Replace all the normal music that you listen to with worship music. And come here and worship God. We're going to have a night of worship on the 19th. We're going to go out and invite some people to come to that night of worship so that they can worship God with us as well as we're fasting. But take every opportunity that you can. Fill that time. Don't fill it with junk. Fill it with God. When you're riding in your car, play the worship music. You know, it's 21 days. You can do that. Okay? And then study. We're going to be reading the book of John, and I'm going to talk to you about what that's going to look like in just a second. And then, obviously, fast. And I encourage you guys not just to fast, you know, food, but also activities that you know interfere with your relationship with God. We all have them, right? Just give it up for 21 days. It'll be there. I promise you it'll be there at the other end of it, and you're probably going to find some health from doing that. And then serve. Look always when you're fasting, like God asked the people in Isaiah, look for ways to help people during this time and respond to God's call. Because when you get closer to God, God's going to tell you what His heart is in those moments, and you're going to see more opportunities to serve Him. They're just going to pop up, and you're like, normally I just walk right by that. But now, listen, I'm focused on God. God's not going to let me walk right by that. Okay? So, in terms of Bible reading, I have a plan for you guys if you don't already have your Bible reading plan. And it's just called a SOAP journal. And this is just where you're going through and you're Basically, every chapter of John, there's 21 days of fasting, there's 21 chapters in John. And as you go through John and you read a chapter, then on one page in a journal, you just write out the S is for the scripture. So you're going to read a whole chapter. So what verse stands out to you in that chapter? And you just write that down. And then O is for observation. What do you observe about this verse? And that could be, what do you notice? What do you think is the main message? What verses, words, or ideas jump out to you? Those are the things that you're going to write under the observation. And then the A is simply, how do I apply this to my life? Okay, God showed me this. Now what am I going to do with it? And then the P is simply to write out a prayer from your time. What is God, you know, how are you praying to God to help you apply that to your life and what you have read? So that's a soap journal, and you can do that just every day. So at the end of your 21 days, you just did 21 pages of soap, right? Really easy way to study the Bible. It doesn't take a lot of time, but it's very good at focusing you on what God is trying to say in the moment. So I normally do not do this, but because this is new for some of you guys, does anybody have any questions? Y'all good? Nothing you're like, I don't know about this.
Does anybody know what fast is?
Does everybody know what fast is?
Does everybody know what fasting is?
Yes.
Well, that's food, right?
Right. Yeah, so fasting is going without food. That's the technical biblical term for it. So technically an activity fast, it is in the Bible, but it's not, that word is not associated with it. And again, you don't have to fast all your food. That's not technically a fast, because Daniel fasted and he prayed while he was, you know, while he was praying. But it can be. And again, I challenge you to seek that out, because it does take it to another level. If you have any questions in terms of, you know, what different types of fasts there are, I do have some fasting resources now on our website that you guys can go to. Right on the front page is talking about our 21-day fast, and you can go and click on the little fasting 101 page. And that's growing out too, so I'm adding some more resources as we go. But again, there's a fasting, water fasting, there's complete fasting, which I do not recommend you doing more than 3 days. And if you do it for 3 days, I still would recommend you talk to your doctor about it, because, you know, 3 days is with going in without water is crazy. It does have an effect on your body, but you can do it, and people do it. Water fasting, you can go, you know, 21 days easy, just water fasting, depending on how much extra fat you have on your body, because basically that's what happens. If you're water fasting, your body starts burning fat instead of burning your carbohydrates and things like that you normally eat. Any other questions? Yes?
If you have health problems and you can't do the food and water, can you do like fast from the internet or TV?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Would that be good?
Yeah, absolutely. If you have health problems, your doctor says no fast, okay? Then I would say, you know, do something like media, TV, that type of thing that's going to allow you to take that time and then replace it with something else. However, having said that, I don't know, I have never run into anybody that could not do the Daniel fast. The Daniel fast provides all your nutrients. So you're not going without nutrients in your body. You got complete proteins if you do it right. You got vegetables. You're eating a lot of vegetables, fruits. Like I said, brown rice and beans, complete program, complete protein. So I haven't met anybody that couldn't do that. But if your doctor says something otherwise, obviously, you know, listen to your doctor. Yeah. In fact, the Daniel fast usually makes you, by the end of the 21 days, you feel a lot better, because you basically have gotten rid of all the junk in your body, because you're not eating junk. And we eat a lot of junk in our culture. So, anybody else have any questions? Guys, this is a challenge I'm giving you guys, but I believe in this point in our church that this is really important, that we come together just like the Israelites did, just like the disciples did, and we really seek God because we need His guidance this coming year. And we can get that and then move on from there. And I think God's going to do some great things. From my personal testimony, I have seen amazing things from the fast. I've seen healings. I've seen God come through financially for people. I've seen people who gave up their drug addiction cold turkey, something they had been struggling with for years. And because they were fasting, they were able to give that up. And I mean, I can't tell you how many different miracles. They actually had people write in their testimonies about their fast, and it was just lists of God coming through in a special way. So I believe that's going to happen too with us. So I'm going to leave you with James 4. It says, "Come near to God, and He will come near to you. Wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your heart, you double-minded. Grieve, mourn, and wail. Change your laughter to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourself before the Lord, and He will lift you up." That's a promise. If we humble ourselves before God, He's going to lift us up. I love you guys. Dear Lord Jesus, thank you for this day. Thank you for the way that you've designed us, Lord, and that you have told us how to reach you and how to get closer to you, how to draw nearer to you. And I just pray that we can grab hold of that in the midst of all the things in our life saying, oh, I just can't do that, or, you know, it's going to be too hard to give this up. I just pray that we just boldly approach this time of fasting and dig into you and then replace all those things that we're giving up with you and just seeking your word and your direction for our life. Thank you for the people here. I pray that through this, our church can be just revitalized for this year to come. And I just pray that through this, that we see healings, Lord. I pray that through this, we see provision, Lord, in ways. I pray that we see freedom, Lord, in so many areas where people may have been struggling. I just pray that right now over these people. I just pray that above all else, it joins us together as a community around you, and that it draws us closer not only to you, but to each other. I love you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.